Chapter 15, Last Hope. We don't want to go through town wearing this, so I thought we'd better cover up with something. Red handed out long cloaks to all the boys, including me. We all covered our uniforms with the blue fabric that extended down to our ankles. "Time to go," he said, and led us out from alongside the barracks. I hurried after, flanked by Pepper and Roderick, while Gabe and Elam took up the rear. Red's hair was the most colorful thing around and was easy to track as he started off ahead of us. Instead of walking past the main gates and into the city, Red led us parallel to the wall and up to the tower. We entered a doorway and wound our way to the top, which provided access to the walkway above the castle walls. From there, I could see out across the city and the darkened lands beyond. "Come on, keep up," Red called out to me when I stopped to take in the bleak yet breathtaking view, and I jogged ahead to catch up. We didn't have to go far before Red stopped and lifted up a grate in the walkway. Metal handholds marked the dark shaft all the way down. Good thing I wasn't afraid of heights. "What's a castle without secret escape routes? My dad showed me all of them," Red said, and disappeared down the hole. I hesitated for a moment before following him down and looked to see Pepper's feet reaching for a hold, and I almost stepped on top of Red because I was so distracted. He stopped suddenly and metal clanked before dim light filled the bottom of the shaft. I watched his silhouette move outside before I continued after him. We were on a hillside surrounded by sickly-looking trees and bushes. They had lost most of their color, like it had drained out the tips of their wilted branches. Pepper bumped into me, causing me to stumble a couple feet down the slope. Hushed voices behind me let me know Red's friends had joined us. Elam mumbled, "Don't know why my dad never showed me all the escape passages." Roderick mumbled under his breath, "Probably because he didn't want you sneaking out to visit all your girlfriends." We cut through the wilderness on a trail, and once we arrived in town, we avoided the main streets. I clutched the blue cloak tightly shut as the others had. We needed to hide our uniforms from curious passers-by. Soon we left the quiet city behind us. I was beginning to wonder how much time had passed. It was hard to determine without a watch or daylight. In Portland, the clouds would occasionally part to let the sun check in on the world below, but not here, where the sky only changed from gray to charcoal. The further we distanced ourselves from King Richard's territory, the wilted plant life diminished, leaving only more rocks and gravel in their place. A tamarack flew overhead as we marched along the dusty road, and I wondered if it was the same one I'd fed along the way. I drifted to the back of the pack as I watched the bird-like creature descend above me. I thought I'd test if it was the same one as before, so I grabbed a small stone from the road and held it out in my palm. Pepper and the guys were in the middle of a discussion and didn't see. The tamarack slowly touched down on my arm and eyed the pebble, clearly hoping for a granola treat. I whispered softly, "Take this rock and drop it on Elam's head." To make sure it knew its target, I pointed at his broad shoulders. The tamarack snatched up the rock and I felt its wings brush against my arm as it lifted into flight. It flew into position 10 feet above Elam, and I wished I had my phone so I could take a picture. The stone slapped against his head and tumbled to the ground. "Ow!" Elam roared and ducked. "What was that?" He looked up into the sky and cursed at the culprit. "Tamarack, up to tricks? If I catch you, I'll roast you for dinner." Pepper started giggling and the others began to snicker. "What a tough guy, Elam. You can take on Slag's army, but when a little tamarack drops a stone on you, you need your mama." Roderick punched his friend's shoulder playfully. "Just surprise me is all." The tamarack continued to fly overhead. It had to be the same one as before. It definitely lost points in the snuggly department with those teeth, but it won extra ones for the cool factor. I jogged ahead in time to hear Roderick mutter, "All right, you all clear on our plan?" Ahead of us, the dark shape of the gate and guard tower materialized. It was showtime. We pulled off our blue cloaks and dropped them at the side of the road. "Yes," Pepper answered and stopped so he could place a pair of iron handcuffs around her wrists. "Sorry, Pepper." "No worries, it's necessary. She winked at me before hanging her head and continuing to walk, clearly enjoying the performance. Roderick and I positioned ourselves on either side of her, while Red, Elam, and Gabe marched behind us. As we neared the gate, a soldier stepped out from the guard tower. It was the same man who was there when I passed through earlier. He recognized me and asked, "Is this the young lady you were looking for?" "Yes, we found her trying to hide in an abandoned farm. Prince Braylon will be pleased to have her back to work up at the castle." "Very good." He gestured for us to walk around the gate and then stopped. "I didn't see the rest of you come through today. When did she escape?" "You're awfully full of questions for someone who's forgetful about his own duties. These men were returning from their own mission and met me on the road. They helped me detain the maid, and now we are all due back at the castle. Do you really wish to keep us any longer, Rogan?" "No, of course not. My apologies." I couldn't help myself and asked, "Where's Kendrick?" Rogan shifted his weight as his eyes darted uneasily over all the members of my party. "I gave him orders to keep watch from the tower and sharpen our spare blades. Something simple he can't blunder." Pepper seemed to momentarily forget her part and straightened up.
"Oh, was he the one here before? He was so helpful."
She stopped talking the second she noticed me grimacing at her. Roderick gave her a gentle yet sharp tug on her cuffs, which I didn't think was necessary. But he didn't seem to care. I could see he was getting into his part. He growled at Rogan. "Is that the fool who let this last by? He made more work for us when we were eager to get back. Why don't you bring him down here so we can show him what we think of him?" Rogan's eyes widened as Roderick placed his hand on the butt of his sword. Rogan stammered, "Oh no, I don't think that will be necessary. I'm more than capable to show him the error of his ways. Don't worry, I will make sure he doesn't do it again." "Make sure he doesn't," Roderick sneered and winked at me when Rogan wasn't looking. Without another word, we continued on the road and away from the gated tower. Although I had worn my sneakers on this trip, my feet were getting tired from all the walking. I just wanted to complete the mission. We were close. If we followed our plan, then soon enough we'd be back in the dreary northwest, sipping coffee in the comfort of a temperature-controlled home. Pepper would be happy that we helped my story characters and life would move on. Simple. Nothing in my life ever was simple, but I dared to hope. The sky went from gray to charcoal and my stomach was growling. The apple I ate while sitting with Pepper had burned off and I was ready for something more substantial, like a steak dinner. Thinking about food made me unhappy, so I tried to focus on the tall black spire ahead of us that held the imprisoned princess. The outline of the castle grew larger as we got close to Valen City. Sounds from the town reached my ears and the entrance gates loomed before us. I copied Roderick, Elam, and Gabe and nodded at the soldiers we passed who were posted alongside the road. They dipped their chins to their chests as we strode with purpose past the shops and buildings. Men dressed in the same dark uniforms as us stared at Pepper as we marched by. I edged closer to her and held her arm protectively. The chill in the air got more frigid as we approached the castle. Like the last time I visited this place, I had the sensation of all happiness and warmth leaving my body. I started to doubt my confidence in the plan. What was I thinking? Pepper and I had passed right by the path to the elder tree in our way out of this miserable world. I could have just grabbed her and left. She seemed to hear my thoughts, or maybe it was the pained expression on my face that gave me away. But Pepper lifted her handcuffed hands and rested them on my own. Her voice came out, sure and soft. "Nim, all of this is possible because of you. You had the power to create this place, and I know you have the power to fix it. Let's do this." She was right. There was no going back now. The dark castle keep loomed ahead of us, and I knew the only way for us to go home now was to complete this harebrained mission. It was time to man up and commit 100%, or it wouldn't work. I took a deep breath and clenched my jaw. Roderick stopped and unlocked Pepper's handcuffs. "This is where we split up. You already know what you have to do?" He looked at each one of us and waited for everyone to give him a nod. Red patted me on the back and muttered, "Good luck, Nim." You too. Hope you find your dad. See you soon. Red gave me a nervous grin and walked toward the entrance to the lower dungeons with Gabe and Elam. Elam squinted at me and shifted expressions like a schizo, looking at Pepper with a buttery smile. Keep those pretty lips safe. Thanks, I will, I said. It was enjoyable watching the confused and angry look spread across his face. I waved at him before I turned to look at my friend, completely amazed with myself. Pepper smirked and muttered, "Good one." "Ready?" Roderick took his place on the other side of Pepper, and we strode up to the castle gates. We had agreed it was best he do the talking since he was older. He seemed to like taking control, and who was I to question him? I was just an orphaned 12-year-old book nerd. When we reached the entrance to the castle keep, the guards at the door stopped us. "What is your business?" "We are here to deliver the princess's new maid to her post," Roderick said loudly. "We were not informed of this activity," one of the guards replied. Roderick paused for a moment and seemed to think about his answer. "I guess you'll have to explain to the prince why she's been delayed. He asked us to personally go and retrieve her, but I guess he doesn't tell you everything." The guards looked at each other and appeared to be weighing their choices. "Right. Take her through. The maid's quarters are in the lower levels." The man stared at Pepper and added, "Be sure to get a uniform before you start work." Pepper kept her eyes to the ground and curtsied. "Yes, sir." Roderick breezed through the entrance with Pepper and me in tow. During my previous visit to the city, I had only entered the dungeons and barracks. The inside reminded me of King Richard's castle. It seemed like a shadow of something that used to be great and majestic that was now sad and colorless. Finding the stairwell into the lower chambers took too long, so Pepper asked a passing servant for directions. Once we were back on the right track, we wound our way down and finally arrived at the correct place. "Remember to get another uniform for the princess," I reminded Pepper as she disappeared through the doorway. The two of us stood around for what felt like an eternity. While we waited, a maid passed by and Roderick muttered, "Women, is it a law they must make you wait as they get ready?" Just when I was beginning to consider going in after her, she appeared wearing a long charcoal tunic with a belt cinched around her waist. A black scarf tied her hair back, and she held a lump of cloth under her arm. "Ready, boys? Time to go to the kitchen for the princess's meal." Apparently, she knew where she was going because she set off through the stone hallways at a quick pace. Roderick and I had to jog to catch up. I heard her muttering under her breath, but only caught a few words. "Was it left after the pig tapestry?" And, "This must be right." "Do you know where you're going, Pepper, or are we going to find ourselves in the dungeons?" I called ahead. "Shut it, Mr. Sarcastic. I think we're just about there. Yes, see?" We rounded a corner and a large archway opened into a loud, bustling kitchen. Servants busily scurried around the steamy space. Pots and pans clanged and shouts laced the air. "Be right back." Pepper pressed the bundle of fabric into my arms and ventured into the chaos. After a couple of minutes, she rushed out with a tray of food. Her eyes were wide and she muttered, "It's a madhouse in there." "Okay, now we need to find our way up to the tower. I was told how to get to the kitchens, but I'm not sure I remember how they said to get to the tower. There should be a stairwell close by that takes us to a corridor." She craned her neck and wandered off. "This way, guys. Yes, here it is." We followed behind and found her ascending a circular flight of steps. After the long afternoon of walking, the muscles in my legs ached. My sedentary life was catching up with me. Geeks like me exercised our brains, not our brawn. Not that I was ready to consider joining track and field or anything. I braced my hands against my knees to help propel myself after Pepper, who didn't seem fazed by the exercise. When we reached the top of the stairwell, we entered a long corridor. Arched openings at the top of the exterior wall breathed fresh air into the hallway. If it weren't so dark outside, I could almost imagine what it looked like with moonlight touching the pale stones that surrounded us. "I think we go this way," Pepper said with a little too much uncertainty for my comfort. She hung a right and looked behind herself to check that we were following. When we made it halfway to the tower doorway, a loud bell clanged. The sound reverberated in the air and echoed off the walls. I resisted the urge to cup my hands over my ears and turned to Roderick for guidance. His eyes widened and I barely heard his voice over the alarm. "They must have been caught." I froze and searched for Pepper, who had stopped in place holding her tray of food for the awaiting princess. She didn't seem frightened, but determined. Her mouth moved, but I couldn't hear her, although I could read her lips. "Let's go." She was ready to sprint down the hallway and make a run for it. All I could do was stand still and watch everything around me like it was a movie playing one frame at a time. I'm not good when I'm put on the spot. That's just the sad truth. The longer I stood absorbing the chaos around me, the more I realized how afraid I was. This was what I had wanted to avoid, and now everything was falling apart around us. I should have followed my initial instinct to just get Pepper out of here. I was no hero. Why did I let myself think this would work? How was this different from any other part of my life? I dug into my pocket in search of my worry stone, and I was surprised to find it was warm rather than icy. I withdrew my hand and was startled to see blue light seeping out from between my fingers. Slowly, I revealed the mysterious object and found a glowing pod. Was this the same glassy black rock I'd been carrying around with me? Shouts rang out down either end of the corridor. Soldiers were coming and there was no way out. The open arches above us were too high to scale, even though Roderick was trying to convince us to give it a try. As I stared up into the darkness outside, I noticed a pair of violet eyes peering down at me. A chill ran down my spine, and all my doubts and fears were tossed aside as a thought formed in my head. Our only hope.